You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is David Walker, former Comptroller General of the United States, former head of the Government Accountability Office, and current president and CEO of the Peter G. Peterson Foundation. We wanted to get Mr. Walker's appraisal on the financial stewardship of the government over the past few months. And David, thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Greg.
You spent a lot of time in your final months and years in office talking about the debt that this country has incurred up to this point, the fact that we are mounting deficits as well. Obviously, there's been a lot of spending, an omnibus bill, a stimulus package totaling nearly $800 billion, a record-setting budget. What's your sense of our fiscal health right now?
It's not good, and it's deteriorating. Here's where we're at. We have to be honest with ourselves. We're in a global recession. We face unprecedented challenges with regard to financial institutions, housing, and the ripple effect of that. It makes sense to do some stimulus. It does make sense to have some type of properly structured interventions to try to get past these current crises. Deficits and debt levels will escalate in the short term. That's troubling, but it's understandable under the circumstances. But what we've got to do is put our own financial house in order. You know, once we start turning the corner on the economy, we need to do what we've asked General Motors, Chrysler, and others to do. We need a transformation and restructuring plan because this country's been living beyond its means too long.
You have talked about a number of areas that you believe need to be addressed urgently, namely entitlements, Medicare especially, but also Social Security, because that's not going to be turning a surplus very much longer, given the demographics in this country. Where would you begin the checklist for this new administration?
Well, first, I think the administration is rightfully focusing on trying to turn the economy around and dealing with the immediate crises. But I think that they also have to recognize that sometime later this year, they need to create some type of a special process, like a fiscal future commission with the Congress, that will help to educate and engage the American people on the need for a range of transformational reforms that will make recommendations to Congress with a guaranteed up or down vote on things like reimposing tough statutory budget controls, Social Security reform, Medicare, Medicaid reform, tax reform, and other things that are necessary, but Congress just can't deal with it.
And so how do they deal with it? How do they need that? How do you give them that kick in the rear that they need, obviously, before we face a financial situation that's too dire to climb out of?
Well, first, I mean, you have to recognize that we don't owe the money to ourselves anymore. You know, that's what we did at the end of World War II. We had debt equal to 122% of the economy, but we owed it all to Americans. Now, half of the debt held by the public is held by foreign lenders. Our number one foreign lender is China. The premier of China, the head of the China Central Bank, are publicly saying they're concerned about our creditworthiness. They're concerned about the value of the dollar. We better be listening to that because our interest rates will go up and a lot of adverse consequences from that if we don't start doing things. So, the answer is you have to create some type of special commission because Congress doesn't like to reform entitlement programs. They don't like to cut spending. They don't like to raise taxes. All of those things are going to have to be done, and it's better to put it together in one package for one vote rather than having them to try to take a number of difficult votes.
Have you seen anything in the past 3 months that encourages you that the current group of leaders is capable of the fiscal discipline you're talking about?
Well, I have been encouraged by some of President Obama's words. I mean, he's talked, you know, publicly about the need for a grand bargain. He's talked about the need to quit kicking the can down the road, that we need to start making some tough choices. Now, frankly, I haven't seen any specific actions that will end up leading to those tough choices or to achievement of that grand bargain, but I think he's trying to deal with the immediate crises. He's going to try to get some health care reform. And I think right after that, we should see action. If we do, great. If we don't, I'm concerned.
In terms of a health care reform, and this is unrelated essentially to Medicare and Medicaid reform, most folks are worried that that would mean more government expenditures. The president, of course, claims that in the long run that would save money. But in the near term or even the long term, what do you expect the actual impact to be?
There's no question we need comprehensive health care reform. In my view, that should, among other things, include universal, basic, and essential coverage that's affordable and sustainable over time. But let me say this very clearly. We already have overpromised on health care. We've promised more than we can deliver. Any kind of health care reform proposal needs to improve our financial condition and our long-range fiscal outlook. That is a litmus test. If the answer to that is yes, it improves it, great. If it's no, then it should be rejected from the outset.
Anytime there's a significant push for entitlement reform, Mr. Walker, you know there's going to be a huge pushback depending upon how the details of the specific plan would be worked out. How difficult will it be to get a comprehensive plan through, given all the different interests involved here?
Look, everybody's trying to protect their own interests, but the American people are ahead of their elected officials. The Peterson Foundation, which I head, conducted a statistically valid research survey of American voters back in February, and we found the number one thing they were concerned about was the economy, but the number two thing was escalating deficits and debt and increased reliance on foreign lenders. They know what can happen when you spend more money than you make at increasing rates, that bad things can happen. We've seen it happen recently in the economy. The U.S. is no exception, and so what we need to do is to have their elected officials wake up and start earning their pay.
Mr. Walker, you mentioned that you'd like to see a special commission being put together as soon as the end of this year. What happens if there isn't an urgent priority in this area? What are the numbers looking like in Medicare, in Social Security, in Medicaid, if reforms aren't addressed and addressed soon?
Well, we were in a $56 trillion hole as of September 30, 2008. That's the total liabilities and unfunded promises for Medicare and Social Security. I believe by the end of this fiscal year, we're probably going to be in about a $62 trillion hole. And growing rapidly. Look, when your largest lender starts speaking publicly about your creditworthiness, we don't really have an option to act. We need to act, or else we could have a much bigger crisis down the road.
What happens if we lose that creditworthiness? You just mentioned China being worried about the value of the dollar and so forth. What is the tipping point here if something's not done?
Well, we sell our debt at auction, and so to the extent that we don't have enough people wanting to buy at low rates, that means we've got to pay higher interest rates. Now, frankly, one of the things I'm concerned about is that since we're having to borrow so much money because of our huge deficits, they're going to be $1.8 trillion-plus this year, the Federal Reserve has announced that they're going to end up buying over $1 trillion worth of debt. Well, what does that mean? They're going to hold down interest rates. It's kind of a self-dealing, an inside baseball kind of game. That can help in the short term, but you can't change supply and demand and market conditions over time. And so we're not only going to have to put our fiscal house in order, which is tax and spending policy, we're going to have to get the Federal Reserve to put its monetary policy in order once we start turning the corner on the economy, or else we could have hyperinflation and much higher interest rates.
Well, Mr. Walker, a lot to be done, and the challenge gets greater by the day. Thank you, sir, very much for your insight today.
Thanks for your interest and efforts.
Absolutely. David Walker, former Comptroller General of the United States, current President and CEO of the Peter G. Peterson Foundation. This is Dateline Washington.